So quick recap. Perek Yud was a big Perek. Perek Yud. There were five kings in the south. And they all got together to meet Yehoshua because the Givonim had made shalom with the Jewish people. So they went to war with the Givonim because they were scared to battle with the Jewish people, right? And then at night, Yehoshua went with the force. They sent messengers to Yehoshua to come and help him. Yehoshua came to their assistance. He helped them. And then in the middle of the night, Hashem made it that all these five kings would come together, right? And Yehoshua, he deals them a blow. He defeats all the armies, chases after them, right? He asks for the sun. Hashemesh beGivon Dom, Yareach beEmek Ayalon. So they should finish his battle. Ulay Erev Shabbat. Ulo Rotzei LeHalel Shabbat. So he said the sun should stand still so they could finish off the job. And they caught the kings, they put their feet on the king's necks, right? They carried on with the war. In a few days, they had destroyed the whole south contingent that they had come together, all these five kings. And within a few days, they destroyed everyone in the south, and they killed the kings, hung them. Oh yeah, the stones, right? Yeah, I didn't check that, but the stones that came to help as well. So we're seeing that the miracles Hashem is giving us are not these big grandiose miracles that are helping us, but they're sort of still there. They're still there. The sun stands still. It's a big miracle, but it's not giving any real benefit to the war. We still have to fight the war ourselves.
You may not have noticed it.
May not have noticed it. I just felt like a long day.
Yeah.
True, when you're in it. Why? So that he could finish off the job. Finish everyone.
Because they have to stop fighting, they can't see.
God said that you'll have one day and everyone will
finish.
Yeah.
If it's done.
Right, so now Yehoshua goes back to Gilgal, which is near Yericho,
over the Jordan,
and that's where we are now. Everyone goes home, they've destroyed the south, taken over all the kings in the south, and now we come to Perek Yud Aleph. You think, you can't get a better perek than that. That was a ginormous perek, the sun standing still. Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi kishmo Yavin melech Hatzor. The king of Hatzor, Yavin, or his name's Yavin, or the name of the king was Yavin, like Paro, right? Or his name was, do you want to bring a chair? And we might need another. So maybe Yavin is the name of the king. Maybe like Paro, the name of the king was Yavin.
Okay.
Maybe. How are you? No, we've just started. The king of Chatzor hears what happened. Vayishlach el Yovav Melech Madon. So he sends an emissary to Yovav Melech Madon. Ve'el, we're going to see where that is in a second. Madon is near the Kinneret, Madon. And then he sends Ve'el Melech Shimron, Ve'el Melech Achshaf. And he sends to another king and another king. Because why? Chatzor is just above, just north, or just below the Kinneret. Right, Chatzor.
There's two Chatzor in Israel.
I'll show you here. Chatzor is just north of the Kinneret, Chatzor. And he sends to all the kings in the north. So now we're going for the north. This is the northern fight, the northern battle. This is Yavin. Melech Yavin, he hears what the Jewish people have just done. He's gathering the troops.
The other kings,
yeah. Correct.
Basically, they're all gathering so that we only have five destinations to go to. And
should be quick.
Amazing.
How many kings? 27.
Amazing.
How many kings?
In total,
there are 31 kings. So here we have the main. The big bosses up north, they get together. ב' ולמלכים אשר מצפון בהר ובערבה נגב כנרות ובשפלה ומנפות דור מים. Every area of the north, he gathers all the troops, everyone. So Melech Hatzor seems like he was a big king. He's gathering everyone up from everywhere, from the Tzafon, Ubahar, the Arava, the Negev, the Kinneret, Bashpela, the Miyam, everywhere. You can see he's gathering all the troops now, because number one, he's probably shaking in his boots. He's probably scared, right? And at the same time, he wants to make sure that they do the job. Brings as many people as he can together. He's gathering a force. Gimel, Hakna'anim Mizrach Umiyam, the Canaanites from the east and the west. Haemori, Ahiti, Aprizi, Ayivusi, Bahar. Right? This is now he's gathering everyone. All of the Canaanim, they're all gathering together. Vachivi, Tachat Hermon, even as far as the Hermon. Be'eretz Hamitzpa, right? It's from far north, that is. Vayetzu hem v'chol machanehem imam. They all went out with everyone, all their soldiers together. Amrav kahol. As many as the grains of sand on the beach. It doesn't say how many. It doesn't say how many, but the number that's given here, it sounds like it's a lot. Yeah? Asher al Sfatayam.
All these tribes, all these... It's like in Africa, the head of a tribe is a king.
Correct.
You know, because
that's what we saw. Everyone wants to be in Israel.
Question, yeah.
Everyone had their king, everyone had their Medina, right? Their states. Larov, there were many of them. Vesus Verehev Rav Meod. So what do we see here now? A change in the battles.
Chariots.
They've never come across chariots before.
That's not it.
Chariots were the tanks, right? Chariots, you had a guy on the chariot with the horse, and you had a guy next to him with the strong bow. What's it called? The bow and arrow. Right, exactly. These chariots weren't to be messed with.
Chariots from
Egypt,
from Mitzrayim.
Correct.
They had chariots.
You'll see the archaeological evidence
they
was
found the chariots, by the way, of the Egyptians.
I've seen in the sea, they found some remnants. So here we have a new type of battle here. Here we have a huge force gathering. And not only that, but they have cavalry. They have, what are they called? Chariots. Hey. Vayiva'adu kol ha-melachim ha-ele ve'avou v'yachanu yahdav el mei merom li'lachem in Israel. So they all gather here, Merom. So you heard of... from Merom, near Tzfat, a bit further from Tzfat. So Merom, you got Har Merom, and at the bottom of the Har, they're all gathering there. A big force gathering.
For
Lag Ba'Omer. They're getting ready for Rashbi. Lag Ba'Omer. So you can see where they are. In Merom. So they've gathered a huge force up north to the north. Merom, okay. Yeah, to which world is wrong. Not taking any chances this time. Vav. Vayom Hashem el Yoshua. Now Hashem comes to Yoshua and says the following. Al tira mipnehem. Again, don't be afraid of them. Ki machar ka'et hazot. Because tomorrow, at this time, anochi notenet kulam halalim lifnei Hashem, lifnei Israel. I will give them all to you. All of them will be dead by this time tomorrow. So what do you see here? Hashem is now promising him that by tomorrow, this whole thing will be over. But Yoshua is in Gilgal. Gilgal is in Yericho.
Still
going to get to Meron. You know how far that is?
How does he hear about it? Two days.
How far is that?
3 days from Jerusalem to start a regular convoy. So maybe they could do it, but how do they change horses? Do they have stations? It takes.
They might have had donkeys. They might have had a few horses. Because we don't see. They didn't have. Yisrael didn't have chariots. Didn't have horses. Didn't have the cavalry. Maybe had a few donkeys. A few camels. Maybe. But we're talking about possibly 150 to 190 kilometers from Yericho. Now, they do have to walk through the easiest part. It's the lowest part. And they go up the Jordan to the Kinneret, and they come across up to Merom. Okay? Wow. But it's a walk. It's a proper tiyul. Yeah.
Adrenaline, sure. And lithium batteries.
But Hashem, not only that, Hashem is saying a promise that tomorrow this is all going to be done. So that's giving Yahshua, yeah, and you've got, there's no time for sitting around waiting. You have to start now. You have to start moving. So he gets everyone together and they start moving off because Hashem's promise. The tomorrow, so they go. Anochi noted, right, everyone. Et susehem te'akeh. But their horses, I want you to te'akeh, it's the hamstring. Hamstring. You cut their hamstring. Why you cut their hamstring?
They can't run.
They can't be used anymore in war, right? Vet markevotehem tisrof ba'esh. And all their chariots, lisrof, burn them all. Now hold on. Right?
It sounds like that's all what? They have to do. The killing's all going to be done for them. It sounds like
that's what they have to do.
Your only job is
definitely to not. Kill definitely the not. Definitely not. Number one, they've got a huge tiyul at night. Number two, when they get there, if this is true that Hashem destroys everyone, right? They are sitting on the biggest force, the biggest amount of chariots and horses. All they would have to do was to take them.
That's all.
That's all they have to do. And they would be the greatest force in that area. That's all they have to do. But no, Hashem says no. Ta'akir. All the susim, ta'akir. You hamstring them.
Because if you take them, then it's going to be a time where you're going to think the war was won from the chariots and the other
things. Close your books. We're done for today. We are done. We are done.
That's immobilizing completely.
Very good. There are questions of Tsa'ar Ba'ale Hayim. There are questions of Tsa'ar Ba'ale Hayim. A lot of Mefarshim say, how can you call the Tsa'ar to the Ba'ale Hayim? What did they do wrong? You're hamstringing all the horses. So I saw an answer that they say they could have killed all the horses. But that's Chaval. Why kill them? So they didn't kill them. They hamstrung them and they heal after, but they cannot be used in war. So in order to make this, show this message that the Jewish people do not fight with anything else but God, to make such a Kiddush Hashem, they were allowed to give a little bit of tzar to the horses, but not killing them, because that would be complete bal tashchit, destroying for no reason. And they were allowed to hamstring the horses, so they would show everyone, we don't even need your chariots. Okay. Zayin, v'yavo Yehoshua v'chol am ha'milchama imo alehem. And Yehoshua came upon the all the forces that gathered there in the plains there of Merom. Pitom! That's the word of the whole chapter. Pitom.
Hold on.
In the middle of the night. Why? Why Pitom? Why is that so important? Vayiplup bahem. So they come down the mountain. They come down from all sides. Haftarah. Number one, haftarah. Number one, the best time to strike someone is when you've got the element of surprise. That's number one. Mm. Number two, their chariots and their horses are stationary in the middle of the marshy area, and they haven't yet mobilized them. The only way you can use chariots is on a big open space, and they're running and they're charging and boom, that's when the cavalry works. But if they're sitting there and the horses are eating the hay and everyone's having a barbecue, the chariots are useless. Useless. And Yehoshua, using his brains, takes them by surprise and he takes out all of the chariots. Done. They're sitting there, sitting target.
But Tom is also explaining that journey of
you're right, days, very it? Quickly. Very quickly. You know, a normal person would take, like I said, probably possibly 3 days.
Is there any Mefarshim on Pitom? I mean, we know what the translate is, but it's
a big word, but I haven't seen.
It's something like Mam Loez would have, like, 10 pages.
For sure. For sure.
It's probably the 100%.
Element of surprise. Element of surprise.
Yeah. It's everything to
suddenly.
We said it last time, everything has to be in order for the element of surprise to work. So many things have to go in order for it to work. So Pitom is Hashem, like.
As well.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
For sure.
It's got to be used everywhere.
But the fact Pitom means that they're not ready. So they are suddenly the Jewish people come down. They're not ready. The horses have been mobilized.
Early morning before dawn.
Right.
That's resting time and everything.
Right. They weren't mobilized. They weren't ready. And that's the point. Vayitenem Hashem beyad Yisrael vayakum. Hashem gave them into the Jewish people's hands and they destroyed them. Vayirdufum ad Sidon Rabba vaad misrfot maim vaad bikat mitzpe mizraha. They chased them northwards in all these three different directions. They're chasing them northwards and they're destroying all the enemies, all the armies. They're destroying
them.
Much further. Much higher. They're chasing them much higher.
The story is all the time.
Repeat yourself. Yeah, exactly.
Ted,
Piton.
Vayas lahem Yoshua ka'asher amar lo Hashem. Yoshua did everything that Hashem had told him. Right? He's standing there in the middle of all of these chariots, and yet he managed to overcome his military inclination, maybe to take one of these chariots, even his ego. Et susehem iker. He did exactly what Hashem said. He hamstrung all of the horses. Ved markevotehem saraf ba'esh. And then, right, people were probably looking. His tat aluf was probably looking like, well, Yeshua, take all of the. We could be the greatest force in the world. No, Hashem told us to burn all of them. That's what I'm doing. Vayashov Yehoshua ba'etahi. And Yeshua now comes back from up north, from chasing them all up north. Vayirkod et Hatzor. And now he goes back to Hatzor. Because Hatzor, they were the one that initiated it. They are really the key to the north. Their position where they are, they're the biggest force because they managed to gather everyone together. He goes back to Hatzor. Vet Malka hika beharev. And the king, he killed with the sword. Ki Hatzor lefanim. Because Hatzor was the one at the front of all of this. He rosh kol ha-mamlechot ha-elet. They were the leaders of all these people. So what's Yeshua doing? He's sending a big message. Chatzor is the big boss. You're the king. Chatzor, I'm going to kill him. And I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to Chatzor. Chatzor is the key to the north here.
He was in there?
A long time ago.
Ah, he must have been there.
We've got to go to Tehillim with Yitzhak. Right. He knows everywhere. He knows everywhere.
He must have been there. This is the story in the
Mozon. Yeah,
The water is coming in the Kinneret. All the water is going in the river Yarden.
Yarden kiblu mayim.
Bedyuk, Hashem ha itiaz eta.
This is Chatzor, it's near Chatzor.
No, Chatzor is
lemala. Karov, no?
Tase, put a
kinneret. Ah, yeah, it's a bit further north, sorry.
No, זה ירמוך, זה אחרי זה טיפה. יש את הכנרת ויש שפך הירדן, זה שם יש את הגיים.
יש הסכם?
Vayaku et kol ha nefesh asher ba. He killed everyone in Chatzor. Lefi herev acharem. He killed everyone with the sword. Lo notar kol neshama. There was no one left. Ve'et Chatzor saraf ba'esh. This is the interesting bit. Chatzor, there was a serefa.
Yesh et zekayam.
נכון. We're going to say
that. קראת בארכיאולוגיה. אתה רואה שכבה של שרוף.
רגע, לפני שאתה אומר. עוד פסוק. ואת כל ערי המלכים האלה, and all the rest of the kings that had joined them, ואת כל מלכיהם, all the kings, לחד יהושע conquered them, ויקם לפי חרב, and he hit them with a sword, החרים אותם, he destroyed them, כאשר ציווה משה, עבד השם, like Moshe told him originally, to destroy everyone in there. But there he said, clearly he didn't burn any of the other cities. The only one was Chatzor. Chatzor was the only one he burned. Now, what is important about that is, Yitzhak will tell you, that the archaeology in this case it fits almost perfectly, almost perfectly. Dates and this and here and there. Who did it? We're not sure. Here, Chatzor, there's about a meter of ash that shows there was a huge, the whole city, first of all, it was 10 times bigger than like Megiddo. This was a big city. And it, well, there's a meter of ash on the tell.
It's all been covered by,
right? Covered after that by a big tell. But there's a meter of ash. Not only that, but they look at all the other cities and there was no meter of ash.
You know what is interesting?
Go ahead. Tell me more. Tell me more. What's interesting?
כל שנה יש לנו שריפה. החצור, החצור, המקום העתיק. כל שנה יש שריפה. לא יודעים איפה זה. כל פעם שנה אתה מגיע לשם לשריפה. ולא יודעים איפה זה.
אולי זה דשא?
לא יודע, אומרים שזה משהו משמיים. אי אפשר לדעת. כל שנה המקום נשרף.
We care about that's okay, but the Zeh Lamala. We're talking about Lamata, the archaeological digs.
No, it's not. 1300.
She's off. But the beauty here is that the archaeology really fits. 1300 BC, there's a layer, thick layer of a meter of ash that shows there was a big destruction. Not only that, but all the idols and all the psalim of all the gods that they had were completely destroyed. Their heads had been cut off and destroyed them. Yavin. Chopped off, yeah. Yeah, this has all been found. We're up to Yugimel. Ra kol ha'arim ha'omdot al tilam lo srafa Yisrael. It says specifically, the Jewish people did not burn all the other cities that are around it. Zulati et Hatzor levada, only Hatzor on its own. Saraf Yehoshua, he burnt it. V'chol shalal ha'arim ha'elev ha'behema, bazzu lahim b'nei Yisrael. And they were allowed to take all of the shalal. Whatever it was, all the donkeys, all the gold. Yeah, everything else, except for the chariots, everything else, mutar.
And the people.
Rak et kol adam he kul lefi harav ad hishmidam otam, and by all the men they would kill them. Lo hishiru kol neshama, there was no one left of the whole.
Just the men.
The men specifically, yeah, fighting age men. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe avdo, just like Hashem had commanded Moshe's servant. Ken tziva Moshe et Yehoshua, Moshe in turn told Yehoshua what to do. V'chen asa Yehoshua lo hesir davar. So what we're seeing, Yehoshua was who mamshich et darko shel Moshe. He carries on exactly what Moshe was doing. Carries on the job perfectly, like a eved ne'eman. Mikol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, everything that Hashem had told him to do. Vayikach Yehoshua et kol ha'aretz hazot, ha'har, v'et kol ha'negev, v'et kol ha'aretz ha'goshen, v'et ha'shvela, v'et ha'arava. Yehoshua took the whole thing. ואת הר ישראל ושפלתו, everything. מן ההר ההלק העולה סעיר, ועד בעל גד בבקעת הלבנון. From the south to the north, everything. תחת הר הרמון, up until the Hermon mountain, ואת כל מלכיהם לחד, and all the kings he took, ויקם וימיתם, and he took them all, and he killed them all.
They all believed in God. They all took over this land which was promised to Abraham, and people heard about it, and they actually, what they knew was that this is no simple thing. They heard the stories of Abraham, what he did in his father's idol factory, and all those things went around. There was communication. I'm telling you, I can feel it here. I see it.
Well, no, because a lot of them were idol worshippers.
We're going to do a production, a limited production. This is it.
They were all idol worshippers.
We are going to do this in computerized exactly, and we're going to make it a multi-feature movie. I'm telling you, I saw it now.
And you, Yavin, he's Yeshua. He's a Kohen.
Okay, important pasuk. Yud Chet. No, sorry, you can say after. Yud Chet. Yamim Rabbim. Sorry, what?
Because they knew and they took advantage of the blessing of this land promised to Abraham and his descendants. And that's why we destroyed them, because they knew from the... They heard...
A slight addition, I want to add to that. Because what we see here is that Yeshua didn't destroy every city. He destroyed Chatzor. Chatzor was destroyed because they were the semel of the power. Everything else they kept. Why? Because the idea here is not about destruction or wanton destruction, because who's going to have to live there in a minute? Jewish people. We're going to take so we don't need to destroy everything for no reason.
Right.
We destroy Chatzor because they have the Semel, Yericho, we destroy, we send messages. But everything else wasn't destroyed or burned down because in a minute we're going to have to come and live here. What's the point of destroying everything? Everything should be standing so we can just have to come in and settle. An easy settlement. Yishuv Tov. Right? Very important pasuk. Yudchet. Yamim Rabbim. Many days. Asa Yehoshua et kol ha-melachim ha'ele ha-milhamah. So, in the perek, it seems it took chick-chack, this whole war.
No.
Yamim Rabbim. It's not until later on where we learn the age of Pinhas. He was about 85 or something like that. And they work out 40 years of the desert from the spies. He was 40 at the spies. There's roughly like 5 to 7 years this whole thing took. So Yamim Rabbim means this took a long time, right? Not just a few days. This was a whole 5 to 7 years.
Like today.
However, like today. The Midrash says, and Rashi says, Bignuto. Says it to you. The Pasuk is saying Yamim Rabbim for Yeshua's detriment. Bignuto. Why? Because just like when Moshe was told, you kill, smite the Midianim, and then, Laila Tov. Your job is over, Shlichut dan, you're coming back to Shamayim. What did Moshe do? He went out straight away, he got all the troops, and we're going to war with Midian. He didn't wait for a second, even though he knew that he was going to die as soon as it's over. But for the Gnut, unfortunately, may a slight error in judgment here, Yeshua takes a long time. Yamim Rabbim. Takes a long time. Why? Like anyone would do. You know, once you're finished your shlichut, it's bye-bye, you're finished. Right? Time to die. However, Yeshua thinks, maybe mistakenly, if I take a long time, I can live a long and healthy life. And what happens?
No, I have another.
So how old was Yeshua when he died?
I don't know.
He was 110. He was supposed to live 120 like Moshe. And Hashem shortened his days by 10 years. He died at 110. As the Pasuk says, Rabot Mahshavot Belevish. Asat Hashem Itakum. You can make all these Heshbonot that I'll take a long time, Yamim Rabbim. But in the end,
obviously,
Hashem is Mekatzer, is your
name.
As it ran on, Bepton.
Yamim Rabbim. Yafe Mor. Ze Mila Mavtech Po. Piton, Yamim Rabbim. This definitely. Okay. A few more psukim. Yutet, lo haita ir ashei shlima et b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael b'lti ha-hevi yoshve givon. There was no...
That's why we kept the hevi, because those were foreign, and they continued telling the world of the story. We kept them alive, so they true. Were relics...
Also true.
They were relics of non-Jews.
Now, if the Pasuk says... If the Pasuk says, Lo haita ir ashei shlimar b'nei Yisrael, there was no one that made peace with the Jewish people except for Givon, what does that mean? That means that they gave everyone the opportunity. If the Pasuk wouldn't have said that, then you could say they didn't give anyone the opportunity for Shalom. But because the Pasuk says, there was no one that made peace with them, that means that the opportunity was there for everyone to make peace. And they didn't. And that's why they got punished. Except for the Givonim, who they made a peace treaty. So everything we took in war. A few more psukim, three more. Ki me'et Hashem hayta lechazek et libam, because Hashem hardened their heart, like Paro. He hardened their heart, likrat ha-milchama et Yisrael, so they should all come together in war against the Jewish people, leman harimam, so that Yeshua should easily be able to destroy them all together. Levirti hayot lahem tehina. They had no choice. Kilman eshmidam. We destroyed them. Kashet tziva Hashem et Moshe. So you might say they had no choice. But the point is, they made all these bad decisions beforehand, which led them to this point, where they now couldn't go back on their action. They'd all got together for a war. There was no way. They didn't make peace. There's no way to go back on their choices. Kaf Aleph. Vayavo Yehoshua be'etahi vayachret et ha'anakim. Yeshua comes now and he destroys all the giants. Who are the giants?
The four brothers of the Goliath.
Right.
The only place they were left. Good.
We've already got rid of them. Sichronimon. In Hebron, Yafemod. When the Jewish people first came 40 years before, and they came to Hebron, they saw the giants, that made them afraid. Yeah, they were scared. We can't do it. Bnei Anakim, we can't. We can't go in. So 40 years before, their grandparents were scared of the giants. Now Yahushua is coming in with their grandchildren, destroying all the giants here. And where does it say where they are? Where are they? Et Anakim minahar min Hebron. This was Talmai, Sheshai, and
those were
Achiman, the giants. Achiman, Teman, Sheshai. These were the three giants, Anakim in Hebron.
Again, when the Gilgal, she shalach meraglim.
זה מרגלים במדבר, כן.
ואז הוא אמר שיש ענקים
בחברון, נכון. החרימו יהושע, he destroyed them. Right? מן ענב ומכל הר יהודה, מכל הר ישראל, עם הריהם, החרימו יהושע, destroyed all of the giants. לא נותר ענקים בארץ, בני ישראל. There were no giants left. Here the Mitzvah of David says, בני אדם גובהי הקומה. Really, really tall people, they say. There was no one, none of them left. Rak be'aza begat. Who comes later on in Gat? A very tall person in Gat? Goliath. Yafeh me'od. Only in Gat there were these tall people left. Uba'ashtod nisharu. There was a few left in Ashtod as well. Last pasuk. Vayikach Yehoshua et kol ha'aretz kechol asher diber Hashem el Moshe. Just like Moshe told, Hashem told Moshe. Vayitna Yehoshua lenahala l'Israel. כמחלקותם לשבטיהם. הנה שבטים, he now gives out the land, והארץ שקטה ממלחמה. That's a very important word. שקטה. The world, yeah, the land was quiet. That doesn't mean it's over. Doesn't mean it's finished.
Now.
It means for now there's quiet. It's like a, it's like a breathe. הארץ שקטה מהמלחמה. הארץ, זמן לנשוף. Yeah, אבל זה לא עוד לא... This is also... And this exactly. And this is a good break, where now this becomes, this changes the whole dynamics, where now Yahushua is mechalek, the lands to all the shvatim. And now whoever's left, each shevet has to deal with them separately.
Three Shvatim go back now, like their workers.
Yes, correct. Now they can.
Now again.
Reuben, God, and
for the first time in 7 years, and Yahushua escorts them all the way back to the border. Yeah, they say goodbye. They meet their wives. They haven't seen for seven years.
When did they actually leave to Far East?
Okay.
Hodu,
yeah.
They went to Hodu.
Right. Hazak Baruch.